I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's start it off today with our buddy Jonathan and Randolph. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, guys. Celtics fans need to get it through their heads that you can win a championship but still also, frankly, be losers. This core, through three coaching regimes, has, with the talent superiority, blown leads, blown series to such an extent over the years that, yes, they were able to get the Rex Grossman of past last year and win a championship, just like Manning, who won a championship. But don't we think of Manning, Alex Rodriguez, and them as losers despite winning championships? This group has been around together, going deep in the playoffs so often, but then disappointing so often, that I can't come to any conclusion except that this core, the Jays, and maybe you want to throw Al Horford in there because he's been around too, are kind of losers.
Okay, it's harsh.
It's aggressive. I'm not going that far.
Are they losers who won, Keith?
Yeah, I know what you're thinking.
We famously teared off many losers in sports, including some losers who won, a loser who won twice, like Peyton Manning.
I'm not going there with this group yet. I think it's a little easy, just because it's Brown and Tatum, to be like, oh, this group went through so many coaches and all these different chances. They only had Holiday and Porzingis twice, and Porzingis really wasn't even a factor this time. So last time either, so if you want to move him to the side. But Jrue Holiday once. This group together, this whole group didn't have Brad Stevens. This whole group really didn't even have Ime Udoka. This is a Joe Mazzulla and Jrue Holiday is how I look at this window. I don't think that they're losers who won. I still think their window is open. Unfortunately, it's been pushed back, and it's going to have to look a lot different in like 2 years.
Text line called me out. They said, Jones, be consistent. Loser take by JB, just like Giannis. I mean,
did Jalen
have a little of like the Giannis post-game syndrome going on there where he sounds a little bit like a loser who won?
So here's this may be an excuse for Jalen Brown.
It's not a failure. It's steps to success.
There was a little bit of that with Jalen.
Yeah, but Jalen's,
it's a fair text to call
Jalen's
me out for that.
Was also different because I think it was also put out there as far as like next season was concerned and like Tatum's done. So like how do you sort of spin that as like don't just quit? Whereas Giannis was the number one seed, their team was healthy, they lost in the first round, and then he was scolding the media about there's no such thing as failure.
There was no scolding from Jalen.
No,
true.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No, Giannis.
It was a sales pitch that he laid on a little thick, but it was not. There was no scolding.
Yeah. No, I still think like Giannis or even Kyrie's last press conference with the Celtics was wildly infuriating as a Celtics fan. So between those two, they're much worse. I see what Jalen Brown was trying to do. He didn't convince me, but like, I see what he was doing.
I don't think they're losers who won either. Not yet. I was joking about that with Tatum when we were making out our tiers the other week. But I don't think that. I think it is fair to look back at the path they had last year and go, wow. I mean, that was a very fortunate path, which a lot of us said in real time. And they took advantage of it. Credit to them. I'm not taking the banner away. But you do look back and you go, well, everything was there. A perfect storm situation for that team to break through and win a title.
Yeah.
And credit to them. They did. But when the path was a little more difficult this year some adversity hit, they couldn't capitalize.
I do think it shows you just how, and because I was one of these guys that would argue against the, teams haven't won back to back and it's hard to win back to back now. Obviously it's hard to win back to back, but you know what I'm saying? Like they were saying, like, oh, the new NBA, like you don't win back to back. And I would come up with excuses for all the different ones and be like, oh, you had a bubble one, you had Kawhi Leonard leaving, you had like this, that, and the other.
But older now, Golden State team.
Yeah, that team that was pretty much done, and they beat the young Celtics. I don't know. Maybe now there is kind of something to it, too. You know, and Giannis could do it. Jokic couldn't do it. Tatum couldn't do it. I know Tatum got hurt, but they were about to be eliminated anyway. The league is pretty loaded. And so, like, if you are facing teams that are healthy.
I think if you're a run-of-the-mill championship team, then you do what all the other run-of-the-mill champion. If you're a special team, and we thought this team was special. We thought they were so much more talented. If you're a special team, then a special team will break that run, and they'll win back-to-back. The Celtics weren't that special team. We thought they were.
True, and I still think they have the best roster when healthy. And again, they weren't. But top to bottom, they have the best roster. Whereas in the previous years, you had more of what we would call like the super teams. Whereas now you have kind of like two all-stars per team. Even this Celtics roster is the top two guys, then there's a little bit of a gap, and it's like a couple old guys. It's Derek White, who everybody loves, but he's not going to be confused with an all-NBA player. Like, the teams that were winning back-to-back had three, four Hall of Famers. I mean, like, Durant, Clay, Curry, Draymond, or you go back to, like, LeBron, Wade, Bosh. Like, those teams, I guess, were built a little different.
617-779-7937. What sort of changes are coming for the Celtics? We're going to get into it with Terp when he joins us. Pure Hoops at High Noon special on a Monday. This is Porzingis after the game explaining his situation, which obviously is very significant going into this offseason with changes expected. Here's KP.
I'm not sure. I mean, you know, doctors are trying to help as much as possible, but it was just some lingering fatigue, you know, some effects. And even right now, I'm just, you know, I played, I don't know, 11 minutes, but I'm cast right now. Like, I could just lay down here and just take a little nap, easy. You know, which is extremely weird, and many symptoms that were kind of super weird. So I think nobody has a clear answer. I'll see how I go from here, and maybe I do some extra testing, some extra stuff, you know, and see if see if we find something. But if not, maybe, you know, maybe just a reset for my whole system, and that will get my energy levels hopefully back up.
Just needs a nap.
Scary. It's honestly scary.
Get in line.
Say it again.
Get in line.
Oh yeah, you want to take a little snooze?
Yeah, you just need a snooze.
But they don't know what's going on with him. Like, you have like the best medical people in the world looking at him, and you know, we had an eyebrow up going into the game where he wasn't even on the injury report. So like, we don't know what's going on with him. He's gonna play. He did play. Played 11 minutes, and now he wants to take a sleep. I don't know what the hell's going on with him for the future. But that's like, basketball is one thing. Like, life wise, that's scary as hell. Like, what's going on with you? You're like a professional athlete, and now you're just like tired all the time, and you can't shake this. That does not the doesn't look good, the outlook.
So I am curious, you know, what you could get in return. We were talking about this a little bit before the show. Would anybody want him? He is an expiring deal. Is that valuable? Would that actually be valuable to the Celtics? Bill Chisholm trying to peel off money long term? Porzingis is closer to the end of his deal. Who has more value?
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1.
On the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You, him, or Drew Holiday? Could you move Jalen? Could you move Derek White? Like, there's a lot of questions, but Porzingis, central to all of it.
I don't know how much value he has right now.
I don't think there...
There is that whole idea of, like, the expiring contracts.
I don't think there's much value in any of the guys you're trading. There's a reason that you wouldn't do it in an ideal world. You're doing it to save money. You're not doing it to get value.
So
you're probably not going to get value for any of these guys.
Yeah, White, Brown, and Pritchard probably have value around the league. And that's it. Right? Like, the other guy, like, Cornette and Horford are free agents. I mean, Holiday signed for multiple years.
Even Jalen, you're not going to get full value for him because of his contract.
Yeah, that's why I say White's probably the most tradable. You get the most back for Derek White, then Jalen Brown, and then probably Peyton Pritchard.
Let's go to Lawrence in Michigan. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Hey, you guys. I love the show. I just wanted to quickly comment and just say, I think there is a need to evaluate Joe Mazzulla as a head coach. You know, prior to the timeline, Brad Stevens brought in people like Jeff Van Gundy and to give him all of the tools and all of the support needed and necessary to become a better coach. And I'm a diehard Boston fan, despite living in Michigan, but dropping back-to-back 20-point leads, it's just not justifiable or excusable for Joe. At this point, I do feel like there's a need for change when it comes to him as a head coach. I really am disappointed in him as a head coach because of the fact that, again, he's been through that so many times, even when he took over for Udoka, not calling timeouts and not making in-game adjustments. And that's what really, I think, hurt the Celtics.
Yeah, so look, I don't think it's in the cards, but I know a lot of people feel that way. A lot of people feel like
we've got a bunch on the text line already, tweets all weekend long. People don't want Joe. And we kind of ride that roller coaster with Joe. You and I even joke about how when they win and he says these nonsense things, we're like, what a character. And then when they lose, like, oh, this guy, he's serious, this guy. So I also don't know how much of the overall team philosophy would change if Joe was gone. So this is like an organizational thing.
I 100% agree with that. And honestly, when Brad gets asked questions today, he should get asked about Joe. Like, is Joe going to be back? See what he says. Brad should get asked about that. Like the whole
bombs away
organizational philosophy. Because I think you're right. I think Mazzulla is very much on board with it.
Oh, of course.
But I think it goes above Mazzulla.
I mean, they shot a lot of threes with Udoka. They shot a lot of threes with Stevens. And then now they've actually put a roster on the floor that's even more three-point happy than the teams that Brad had. Right? Like, there's no Time Lord out there. There's no guy that's, like, clogging up space. Every single guy that they play shoots threes.
617-779-7937. Good text here. You guys made fun of him, but the mold caller may have been onto something.
Yeah, no, listen.
That's true. Maybe we shouldn't rule that out. We were maybe a little too dismissive of that guy in retrospect.
I might be all over it.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.